praise and thanks. We could sing the same thing over and over again to give glory to the Lord. For it is our Lord whom we praise. It is He who deserves the glory and the praise and the songs of praise. He has placed it in our hearts that we offer Him songs of praise. I don't know, but we had a little singing session down here on Tuesday evening, and it brought great joy to all our hearts. We were all very blessed. You know, there is blessing in singing, because it is how we praise our God. And where God is praised, He is not far away. He dwells among the praises of His people. So says the Scripture. And we are grateful that we can praise Him again. I am still so grateful to God, also for last night, for the sermon, for the translation. Yes, it is strange. It was a short sermon, but such an anointed sermon, such a powerful sermon. It is the absolute truth. That is indeed there, Satan's Eden. Yes. Oh, we have indeed seen that everything the Spirit of God has spoken is 100% true. What God speaks is absolute. It is true. It is right. It may sometimes still seem a little distant, but then the time and hour will come when it will be revealed. And when it will be seen, and all those who are sincere of heart, who love God's Word, and who have accepted His Word, their eyes were opened, and they may see that it is the truth. All others will pass by, and will not be able to see it. But we, as children of God, should be glad and thankful that the Lord has opened our eyes. We do not boast that we are special, but we can say, we are what we are to the glory of God. And we are here to exalt the name of the Lord. And here David says in Psalm 145, I will extol thee, my God, O King. Yes, and I would like to say that we want to join in with this psalmist. We don't just want to say it. We want to do it. Exalt Him, our God and our King, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. That is the purpose for which we come together. Isn't it, brothers and sisters? Yes, that is the purpose. Here it says, I will extol thee, my God, O King. David proclaimed this, and I think these were not empty words, but it was in his heart, and that is why he could proclaim it. And so it must also be in our hearts, that we can proclaim it. And I will bless thy name. How often? How long? Forever and ever. Forever and ever. Always praise the name of the Lord. Is that in us, brothers and sisters? Is that in us or not? Well, this man made it his purpose to do so. He proclaimed it loudly. He said it so that it echoes down to our days. See, that it reaches our ears this morning. Isn't that wonderful? What men of God have spoken, anointed by the Holy Spirit, remains to this day. It was not the men, it was the Spirit of God who guided them to do so. And this morning, we can look at it. And I think it is not given by chance, but it fulfills its purpose, even this morning. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Every day. Is that how we do it, brothers and sisters? Is that the case with us, or is it not? We must be honest about this. Yes, let each one examine himself. But I think It should be in our hearts. But I want to tell you something. I don't think a day goes by when we don't remember him and exalt his name and praise him. Things may look bitter around us at times, or we may have gone through many trials, but I have to say, since Jesus came into my life, I think every day about what he has done in my life, and I praise his glorious name. Here it says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. Praise and thanks be to our God. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness." I think we can do the same this morning. May the Spirit of God guide us all. Let us all fall into his hands, into his guidance and leadership. May he be with us. Brothers and sisters, may we meet him this morning with joyful mouths and hearts. Let us now stand up and do so. My God, Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts that we may be here together again this morning. Lord, we come with bowed hearts. We come to you, Lord. Lord, we want to cry out with David, "I will exalt you, my God and my King, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and glorify your name forever and ever. Lord Jesus, grant it to us all by your grace. Grant it deep into our hearts, that we may always praise you from the depths of our hearts, O Lord, that we may sing songs of praise. Instead of anything else, Lord, let praise spring forth and thanks be given to you, Lord. Take out of us, Lord Jesus, everything that stands in your way, in my life, in my thoughts, Lord, and in all our lives, and in all our thoughts, Lord. Purify us, Lord Jesus, that our inner being, that which is deep within us, Lord, may be pure and holy before you. Lord, we thank you once again for your powerful words last night through this powerful message, Lord. We see, O Lord, that you have not forsaken your people, but you have spoken, Lord, and you have taken your servant, but your word remains. Hallelujah. We praise your grace. We glorify your miracles, which you have also performed in our days and also in our midst, Lord. We give you the honor and the praise and the glory and the worship for this. Lord, be with us this morning. Bless us all, O Lord. This is my request and my plea. We come as we are, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. My voice is certainly not as good as I would like it to be. As you know, last weekend was very exhausting in Sicily. The southerners are a little different from us. For them, a meeting has to last 3 or 4 hours. And when it's over, they don't go home, not by a long shot, not until after midnight. And so, The voice is needed and used, but when it is used in God's service, then it is good. When God is glorified, when His word is proclaimed, when blessings result from it, then let it become hoarse in the process. But woe to us if the voice is misused for other purposes, whereby the Lord is not glorified. The chorus we sang comes from chapter 5 in the book of Revelation. We heard it together with Brother Schmidt a few days ago somewhere, and I memorized it as best I could along with the melody, and then we just sang it here last night. But it is written in Revelation chapter 5, verse 2, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" That was the question. Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book. That was John's experience on the Isle of Patmos. He knew the purpose for which he had been brought there, namely for the sake of the Word of God and for the sake of the testimony of Jesus. And the book remains closed, and there is no one worthy to take it, open it, or look inside. And he weeps bitterly. He weeps loudly. I do not know if we have ever heard a person weep loudly. It is such an inner pain that tears you apart, that you really cannot help it and see no hope. And that is how John felt. And then suddenly it says, "And one of the elders says unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." What a moment it must have been when one of the elders came to him and said, "Weep not." And he had the answer to this question. He didn't just say, "Don't weep." He said, "Behold, it's like a prophecy. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." John's weeping was over. A peace and a deep joy must have entered his heart. And we know the rest of the story. But then it says here, in verse 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. We too can say Amen to that. The elders fell down and worshipped. What shall become of us in this time, now that we have witnessed the opening of the seals, now that the mysteries that were hidden and sealed in the book have been revealed? I do not know if we even understand what has happened, if we have realized what it is all about. Here it says, they fell down and worshipped. Only already when the Lamb took the book, we know that in March 1963, the seals were opened. The Lord came in the pillar of fire every day at noon to open the seal to Brother Branham, to reveal it, to make it known. We have heard everything. Did we fall down? Did we worship? Did we offer God the thanks that was due to him? What have we done with what God has entrusted to us? How valuable have the things we have received from him become to us? I must confess honestly that when I heard this chorus sung by people who had not yet heard about the opening of the seals, who had no idea about it, my heart was moved, and I thought, this is the chorus we should sing, because we have witnessed it. Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive praise and honor, glory and worship. You are worthy, O Lord. May we not forget what God has done for us in this time by grace, and what he will continue to do as he pleases, to confirm his word, fulfill his promises, and glorify his name. Who is worthy to open the book, to loose its seals? No one in heaven. And there are plenty who are truly fine in heaven, in whom God finds no fault. No one in heaven, no one on earth, no one under the earth was worthy. And John weeps bitterly. And then the answer of the elder, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Brother Branham says, it is the book of redemption, and the Redeemer has taken the book to reveal to the redeemed what he has to say to them. And that has happened in your time and in my time, for your sake and for my sake, for the sake of God's people. Weep not, he has overcome. He took the book and opened it. And it says here, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. The thing was very fresh, very new before his eyes. He did not see the lamb as though it had been slain at some other time. He saw the lamb before him, the crucified one, as if he had just been nailed to the cross. For us, things are sometimes so far away, but he sees the Lord before his eyes, as if he had watched them nail him to the cross and pierce his side, a lamb, as it had been slain. Then it says here in verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Are not these wonderful words? The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down before the Lamb when he took the book to open its seals. They had harps and golden bowls full of incense. But one thing was the main thing, the worship they offered to the Lamb. No matter how many instruments we play, the most important thing is to offer worship to Him who was slain, who shed his blood, who alone is worthy to claim his own and to reveal himself, his will and his word to his own. To him be praise. And when it is written that all in heaven and on earth, the whole creation has joined in this praise, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. May God bless us and transform our weeping, our misery, and our lamentation into true worship wrought by the Spirit, which can be put in the bowl of incense to be brought before the throne of God. In the presence of God, we may thank Him for what He has done, for we testify and confess God has done great things for us all by His grace. To Him be the glory. Amen. Praise and thanks. I think we could already worship, and we'll do it in a moment. Personally, these words became great to me. You know, there was no one in heaven who would have thought by himself, who would have presumed to say, I am worthy. But you know, everyone knew that the honor and praise belonged to one. There were the 24 elders, there were the princes, the chief princes, the angel Michael, and whatever their names may be, great chief princes, who may have done great things, but there was one to whom the honor was due. None of them presumed to claim anything for themselves or to take credit for themselves, but they all raised their voices and said with one voice, "Thou art worthy, the Lamb who was slain. Yes, he is worthy to receive praise and worship." It is so different, you know, when we look at this earth. It is completely different where Satan's kingdom is. There everyone wants to claim the honor, to receive the honor. Isn't that true? Everyone, starting with the smallest, everyone wants to be valued. Everyone wants to receive some honor. But here in heaven, we see the great difference. The great difference. No one was there to say, "I can do it better. I am worthy of it." When we look at our times today, we see all the parties, everything that is there. Everyone claims to be able to do everything better. One is better than the other. They try to outdo each other. Yes, they fight with each other because everyone wants to be something. And basically, if they would just consider that they are only poor, mortal human beings, you know, not even the great chief princes made any claims. We too cannot make any claims. We know to whom the honor belongs. We know to whom the praise belongs. I said earlier that the chorus moved me so much last night. We were so blessed. I don't know how you felt, but the Spirit of God was so present when we sang. We didn't even know the words properly, the whole process. But there was such a presence of God. It was so lovely. It was so wonderful. I don't know how it was for you who were listening. Perhaps the Spirit was there too. Most certainly. Praise and thanks be to our God. Yes, He deserves the honor and praise. Amen. Do you know what? A thought has come to me. We should gather here now and sing the chorus together. And then we should give glory to our God from the depths of our hearts and worship Him. For no one except Him is worthy to receive praise, glory and worship. O God, Lord, no one is worthy in heaven or on earth to receive glory and power and praise. For we know that the day is coming, the hour is coming, when you will come in power, when you will take everything into your hands, when you, Lord, will judge over death, hell, and the devil. For you have conquered him. Hallelujah. We praise your power. We praise your glory. This morning, we give you the glory. Hallelujah. To you alone. Hallelujah. From the bottom of my heart, I can only praise you and exalt your name. Lord Jesus Christ, abide with your own, that we may remain steadfast in these hours, in these moments of trial through which we are now passing. But Lord, we look up to you. You are our strength. You are our comfort. You are our help. Hallelujah. Praise be to your name. O glory. Praise, glory and worship. To you, the living God, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen.